the joy of your divine presence here tonight. And I thank you, Father, that we can build a bridge for men and women, for young people, for children, that the ineffable greatness of your word will continue to live, for it truly is the word of life and of light. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I thank you, Father, for our men and women who work so beautifully, so faithfully, so lovingly, so committedly to holding forth your word rightly divided in song. Thank you for the greatness of the hearts of our people who, in their extracurricular activities, self-structured time, Father, just do their utmost for your highest to bless us with songs and music. So we're real grateful and thankful for your wonderful love. Thank you for this ministry, Father, and as we receive our abundant sharing tonight, I thank you that you just make available to the ministry that which we need to move the word around the world. Thank you for the faithfulness of our people, for their abundant sharing far beyond their tithes. And we love you, Father, for the joy of serving and blessing people all over the world. Thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. To have our wonderful Johnny Townsend, who's assisted me all year to be able to teach tonight, really blesses my heart.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Bless your beautiful hearts. You may be standing. That's an alertness test. You may be seated, please. Bless your hearts. We just got to make sure we're moving right along here. Well, God bless and greetings to all of you tonight. And I'm very thankful to Dr. Wirral and the other of the Board of Trustees for the privilege to speak from this platform here tonight. As Dr. Wirral was mentioning earlier, it was in 1968 that I first took the class on Power for Abundant Living. I was stationed at Fort Sam Houston, Texas, in San Antonio, and I was part of Brook Army Medical Center, their headquarters company. I worked in the supply field, and a man talked to me about the Word of God, gave me the book, Receiving the Holy Spirit Today. I read it, spoke in tongues, got turned on, and then I heard about a class, and so we rode away to this place in Ohio, and we got these reel-to-reel tapes and a syllabus and a note that said, God bless, and whatever you think the class is worth, you go ahead and abundantly share. And I think I had about $50 left out of my pay, which was quite a bit in those days because you only got paid $96 a month. And so I had about $50 left, put that in, sent that in, took the class. I had to stay up the last three nights I was in the Army. I had to stay up all night to finish the tapes. So I was wired on the word and coffee. And I want to tell you, by the end of that third day, I was buzzing. And ETS, separated from active duty, caught a flight to Toledo, Ohio. And then a day later, I was driven down by some believers from the Toledo area, the Brown family. It was their son, John, who had gotten the word in San Antonio. And they drove me down here to headquarters. And that night, I took the class again, only this time it was Dr. Wirral alive and in Bermuda shorts. And it was a whole lot different experience, I want to tell you, to see him up there crawling on top of that desk and everything else, teaching the word and making it live like I had never heard or seen in my entire life. And that was a very pivotal point in my life, because up to that point, my plans were simply to come to the way in Ohio and sit through their summer classes and then go back home. And it was then that I finally began to realize where home really was. And by the time that summer was concluded, I realized that this was home for me and that this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. The only problem is I didn't know what this was. That's right. All I knew is that it was the way ministry and the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. And my heart was thrilled by the Word, but I didn't know really what I was supposed to be doing. So I just stayed. I never really talked to anybody about it. I just stayed in the upper room, and finally Dr. Earle said, "Well, I guess you're going to stay. So if you're doing that, we might as well put you to work." And so that's what he did. And of course, as he had shared through the years, I've had the privilege of serving in a number of different capacities, and this year especially, to be here at International again is like a dream to me. And it just brings tears of joy to my heart to be able to be here with you tonight and to share the Word of God with you. So I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at something in the Word. I didn't quite decide on what I wanted to call it, so I came up with three titles, and I figured you could take your pick. I thought we could call it tonight, "The Week That Will Be," or we could call it "The Sprint to Eternity," or another name could be "Our Triumphant Procession Down Victory Lane." Tomorrow is going to be Flag Day for our country, and I'm sure there'll be a number of flags of the United States of America flying. And I thought today of a statement that John Adams made to his wife Abigail just after the passing of the Declaration of Independence, which basically was that declaration those men made over 200 years ago, declaring their independence and freedom. And of course, it was after that, as you know, that we were involved in a revolution, and sometime after that, the Constitution was formed, a number of other things transpired. But it was after the passing of the Declaration, and those men basically had laid their lives on the line, that he wrote to his wife, "I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet, through all the gloom, I can see rays of ravishing light and glory." I thought, what great vision that man and others must have had in that day and time, because certainly on the near horizon, all they could see was the gloom, because they had basically laid their lives on the line. And I thought about that with our ministry as well, how so many times over the years, where it didn't look like a whole lot sense knowledge wise, I suppose even today to a degree you could say that, we must be to many like one more small voice crying out in the wilderness. You know, today it's one group versus another group. Well, what group do you belong to? Or what church do you belong to? Or what program do you belong to? And yet the Word of God and God's heart is so much bigger than that. And it's been the vision and the commitment over the years of those who began with this ministry, like Dr. Wirwell and others. We're commemorating our 40th anniversary of biblical research, teaching, and fellowship. Had they not had that vision and that commitment, then only God knows where we might be today. But they did stand. That has given us the opportunity to continue. And I'm so thankful and excited for that, because to see what's happening today is like a dream, like our wonderful believers from Chile. Dios te bendiga. That means God bless you. To see Roger over here from Zaire, just to see how the Word is moving over the world. David Bailey from Fish and Chips, or no, Great Britain, right? Bless his heart. You see, it's like a dream, people, and it wasn't too many years ago that you could put almost the whole of the way ministry inside the BRC. And yet God has blessed our ministry, because people have stood faithful over the years. because they had vision that went beyond themselves, and they had commitment beyond their lifetime. It's Dr. Whittle who said for many years, if I can get 50 people together who'll stand for the accuracy of the word and believe it, I'll be blessed. And yet look how God has so abundantly blessed our ministry. This past week, in Dr. Whittle's By the Way article, he wrote the following in anticipation of the coming days and weeks ahead. Getting ready for the final months of my presidency of the Way International brings with it mind pictures and emotional feelings of various kinds. Some call it home stretch, but the way I see it, it is the opening of a fantastic continued expansion in the outreach of the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. I had the joy and privilege of laying the foundation and then building on it. By God's mercy and grace into the reality that it is today, not only throughout the United States, but in some 70 brother and sister countries. I have enjoyed and loved the privilege of planting and watering, and with thankfulness, observing God's increase. Physically, I have helped to plant many trees and shrubs at the Way International, but even though I may never have the joy of sitting in the shade of those trees, I did have the joy and privilege of planting them so others could enjoy the shade. That is life. Our 40th anniversary is a time and year of jubilation. Next week begins the first of the finals, our yearly Board of Trustee meeting, which transpired this past week. The trustees of the Way International isolate themselves for 1 week in much prayer and believing, endeavoring to evaluate the worldwide outreach and laying plans for the future of the continued programs. These will enable people all over the world who so desire to lovingly acquire a greater in-depth knowledge of the integrity and accuracy of God's inerrant and inherent Word. It is a time of soul searching, believing, and prayerful thanksgiving. Then in this home stretch, we open on June 19 the 2-week class on the subject of, that's right, more than 7,000 are fully registered and intact for the entire 2 weeks, with other thousands coming in over the weekends. I doubt if ever in the history of Christendom have so many people been together in one class for such a length of time. It's almost frightening to me when I think about it all, because here we are out in a rural area people have called nowheres, and thousands from all over the United States and world come to hear, to study, to be taught, to grow and to carry the Word of God back with them in their lives, their work, and their communities. To me, it is like a dream when I realize people are coming distances of up to 10,000 miles from places like India and Australia, while those within close proximity of the Way International, living a mile, 2 or 5 or 20, never even think about coming. My heart and soul must be and are truly grateful, but amazed. Numerically, the number 40 has long been universally recognized as an important number, and this is our 40th anniversary year of celebration for the Way Ministry, Word Over the World. In Philippians chapter 3, I thought of this heart again tonight,
Because you see, our ministry, God's ministry, the ministry of His Word is much bigger in scope and much bigger in concept than perhaps we can realize at this point in time. Dr. Wirral said in the 10:30 fellowship this morning, this is an unbelievable moment in the history of the world. What we are now a part of and experiencing and what we are embarking on. It is providential that God has called us to this day and time and hour and to be a part of this ministry. We are not accidents looking for a place to happen. I heard it tonight in the manifestations. God said that He directs our pathway, that He's laid out and set before us a straight path. God's hand of blessing is on our lives, that we with one mind and one mouth can move with the great ministry of His Word. And here in Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul by revelation says, brethren, and that's cistern too, that's brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he did not fully comprehend the greatness of what he had previously written about. Context-wise, he's talking about the return, ultimately the return of Christ, and that perfection that we will be at the return, and all that it entails. He had not yet fully comprehended the all in all of it. We don't fully comprehend the all in all of our ministry, but this one thing I what? I do. This is one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are where? And to forget is in the sense of refute. Like this morning. Can any of you remember what you had for breakfast? If so, raise your hand. Good. Well, then I could say you're not renewing your mind because it says to forget those things which are behind. That's behind, right? No, that's not the essence of it. It's where you don't live in the past. You refute it. You declare it null and void. You don't build a ministry on past accomplishments. You don't rest on your laurels, so to speak. We know what that means in Chile, to rest on our laurels. Does that make sense? Oh, bueno. That's good. They said yes, that's good. You know, where, well, boy, I did such a great job, man, I can just coast. You know, Paul had the pedigree. He had all that other stuff senses-wise, and yet earlier he said, I have no confidence in the flesh. We're not going to do a class on living victoriously based upon the flesh or based upon past accomplishments where we can just lay back and say, well, Lord, we did such a great job, or boy, I have such a wonderful mind, and so on. Our strength is in the Lord. The whole heart of this revelation, context-wise, is how we as believers can press onward with one mind. And that's got to be a revelation today, because the so-called Christian church is about anything but one mind. You've got this group, you've got that group, this denomination, that denomination. Something's got to be wrong someplace, either what we're reading here or perhaps what people are putting into application and practice. No perhaps about it. You see, it's a coming back to the Word, refuting what is behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now I want to do something real simple. I want all of you to take your hand like this, hold it out in front of you, and I want you to look way behind. Okay, look all the way, and try to reach forward while you're looking behind. Don't do it so good right now. Keep your arm up there, turn around. Now, reach forward with all you got. Reach forward, reach! See what you just did? See how you reached forward? When you're looking behind, you're pulling against yourself. But when you've got your eyes focused on the goal, you can reach. Like in athletics, when they're crossing the tape, you know, that last bit of effort, and they stick their head out there. They reach. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. God has set it before us. But we're not going to go any further than we can reach. If we're not reaching in our minds. And I want to tell you, even then it's still going to be God's wonderful grace and mercy that covers a multitude of sins, and the love of God that covers for the slack in our lives as human beings. But still, our heart, our commitment, like that of Paul's, is to just reach forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark. He drove himself as a spiritual athlete toward the finish line. That's the mark, the finish line. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this prize here in Greek literature, this prize, it was, this word talked about the prize they bestowed on the victors in the public games. That's a good one for the victors. Now they know that's their verse. The victors get a prize. That's what it means. So I trust they appreciate that. Even though you didn't appreciate it, I appreciate it. I thought, well, boy, that's kind of sharp. The prize goes to the victors of the games. He pressed, he drove toward the finish line for the prize. The prizes will be received at the return. Do we know that? Sense knowledge-wise, can we see those prizes? No. No more so than John Adams saw a free and independent country with his physical eyeballs, but he dedicated himself. No more so than Dr. Werewolf saw with his own physical eyeballs the word over the world, and yet God burned it in his heart like fire. He dedicated himself because of what he knew to be the truth of the word. The same way as we dedicate ourselves. And the only thing that'll build that vision, people, is the word. That's why it's a research, teaching, and fellowship ministry. We research the scriptures. We come back to the word, rightly dividing, and then we teach it with right understanding, and then with right application in the fellowship, we walk on it. It's so simple, it's so beautiful. God takes all the strain and drain, the fuss and muss out of it. And when you really stop and you get honest, this life at the longest is short. That's why I call it a sprint to eternity. We're just on a 100-yard dash as far as this life is concerned compared to all eternity. Now, we may not always think that way, because especially, you know, when you're full of the vim and vigor, vitality. Around our house, we used to say pea and vinegar. I don't know if any of you ever heard that expression. So, but I didn't want to say that publicly. So I said vim and vigor instead. You know, you're rambunctious, you're full of life. So you never think about getting old or anything. You're just thinking about how you can go out and make a date with that pretty girl next door, or what you're going to watch at the movies this Friday, or who's going to win the big ball game, and, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life, and so on and so forth. But people 60, 70, 80, 90, even 100 years, if, like one gal I read, took a shot of whiskey every day and chewed tobacco, and she said that was her answer to longevity, and she lived to be 104. Sorry, Grace. It was organic tobacco, though. We know that. Shoot. You know, even then, life at the longest still short. That's why we keep driving ourselves on the word. And verse 15 says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. And Dr. Werewolf handled this in the fellowship this morning. It's talking about those who are initiated into the revelation of the mystery, the great mystery. People who've put on the Word of God, or who are endeavoring to put on, those who are growing up in the things of Christ. Paul, by revelation, when addressing the church at Corinth, said that with some he could go no further than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's as far as he could go with the Word, and yet there are others who want to go deeper with the things of God. Think of all the millions and millions of people today, and yet in comparison we're such a small handful. And yet God is continuing to add to this ministry. He's continuing to give the increase, to give the blessing. There has to be a reason why, people. And that's why our heart needs to grow with the Word, that our vision can grow, that we can maintain this mind of seeing way beyond. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You see, this is why our ministry has lived over the years. Because others, Dr. Whirl and those who have stood over the early years and the past 40 years, they've lived that way. They've refuted those things which are behind, and they've continued to reach forth into those things which are before. It doesn't say, provided you feel like it. You know, well, today I feel like reaching forth, so I'm going to. No. We can do because God's Word says we can do. That's the renewed mind. Not because of what our feelings dictate. Sometimes our feelings dictate anything but the Word of God. You can't build it on feelings. The only way the Word is going to live is by building it on the inaccuracy and integrity of the Word. You can't build it on Dr. Whirlwill. You can't build it on people. God knows we need people and that we're thankful for them. The same as I know people are thankful to be a part of this ministry. But you know, it's like one preacher said that while shoot. When Dr. Whirlwill is no longer president and so on, you know, the ministry is going to fold. You know, well, fat chance. You know, by God's grace and mercy, if the Lord tarries, I'll live to see the day that that man's either born again, grad of power for abundant living, or he's dead in his grave. The Word of God is going to live. We're not building it on people. We're building it on the accuracy and integrity of the Word. And you know something? That's that man's privilege. If that's what, if he wants to be an idiot and believe things like that, he can suit himself. You know, that's right. People used to think the world was flat. See, well, I want to tell you, they didn't get here from Chile by, you know, going over a flat world. Just because people believe something doesn't make it so. Here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, know ye not that they who run in a race run all? Well, that, yes. Do you know that? Good. That's real good. But one receives what? There it is. Only one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain. We run, we compete as spiritual athletes that we may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery, every man that competes in that competition is temperate. That means he's self-disciplined. He disciplines himself on the Word, just like in the physical realm. They discipline themselves physically. They eat proper food. They exercise properly. Spiritually, the same truth. We exercise self-control. We build the Word in our minds. We speak in tongues much. We operate the principles of giving and receiving. We witness to the truth of God's Word. All these principles. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, Paul understood the conditions of the race, and believers today, not just in the Way Ministry, but throughout the world, in Chile, in Zaire, in the United States of America, in Great Britain, all around the globe, believers today need to understand the conditions of the competition. This isn't a game of tiddlywinks we're playing. This is life, eternal life, and it's our eternal rewards that are at stake. I want to tell you, it's not what's in it for me so much that's my heart, but I want to be there to see others cross the finish line. I want others to receive the reward of the inheritance. And the rewards today, people, are according to the conditions of this administration. And this administration is a united household, one body with Christ as the head. And if a Christian calls himself this brand or that brand or any other brand, where they're divided and fighting among one another, people, that is not one body. And I think there's enough surprises in life without having to face the great big surprise at the gathering. Imagine that. Born again believers, one spiritually, and the Word of God says that we're to keep that unity, but true unity only comes from the Word. That's why our ministry is paramount. That's why there's an urgency to our day and time. That's why this class on living victoriously is perhaps bigger than any of us can realize in terms of its impact on the world, because of the pattern that's being laid, that born-again believers throughout the inhabited world can know that there is one true God, that they can know the accuracy and integrity of the Word, that they can walk in that body. That's right. That's why Paul said he didn't walk around guessing, wandering. He knew because he disciplined himself on the Word. He renewed his mind. He stayed put. And he spoke the Word. He taught it. But, verse 27, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have to renew my mind. You have to renew your mind. Why? That the Word can live. In that sense, our blessing is secondary. What's primary is that the Word lives. But primary in our own walk before God is our blessing. Because if I'm all, defeated, and I'm going to go out and say, well, wouldn't you like the more abundant life? I've got to be built up. That's why I have to renew my mind to the Word. That's why it's mastering the basics, people, day after day, week after week. Sure, people, a lot of people had the class on Power for Abundant Living. Some still around, some aren't. I want to tell you, it doesn't negate the truth of the Word any, but as far as the continued outreach of the Word, you see, the vision, we've got to dedicate our lives, people. You say, well, what's my life? Well, I'll tell you what God gave His only begotten Son for. I'd say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? Just think, God in Christ in you, the greatness of His peace, His love, His joy, His mercy. While we're doing a class on living victoriously, that's sort of a hint, you know. God wants us to live it victoriously. And boy, what a message to carry to our communities and areas, that God called us to living victoriously, not defeated, not discouraged, that we're victorious as spiritual athletes. That's right. Look at Colossians chapter 1, bless your hearts. Colossians chapter 1. You see, the greatness of the rewards lie in the household. That's why the revelation of the great mystery needs to live. And I thought of this section here in Colossians 1 as our purpose for living victoriously, what we're going to be doing. And in 1 verse 25, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister, one who serves on the horizontal level, according to the dispensation. Dispensation is administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word. Paul's ministry was to fulfill the word, to complete it. That's why we're not concerned so much about some text floating around out there someplace, because we know that Paul fulfilled it with the revelation of the mystery. And the reason I know that is because I read the next verse. It says, even the what? Right. It's the great mystery that fulfilled the word. Basically, that which is contained within the seven church epistles. That fulfilled it. Basically, everything we need with as born-again believers is contained therein. The rest is for our learning, that we can grow in scope and understanding. That's right. It's not mouthwash, by the way. You know, in our minds, scope. That's mouthwash in the United States of America. So maybe it'd be Listerino or something in Chile. I don't know. Whatever they have. I'm glad one of them's laughing. That's, I don't know if he's laughing at me or what, but ah, bless your hearts. Enough of this foolishness. His ministry was to what? Fulfill the word. See it? Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, hid in God, in God's foreknowledge. God kept it to himself, but now lately is made manifest to his saints, to whom would God would make known. God wants the saints to know. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Boy, isn't that wonderful? Christ in you. But you know what that means to most Christians? Nothing. Hey, you've got Christ in you. Wonderful. Well, what's that mean? The only way you will know is by coming back to the Word, specifically that which is addressed to us. You've got to research, you've got to teach, and you've got to fellowship. All the key ingredients are involved. That's why we are what's happening, people. And I'm not, that's not an ego trip. That's just a declaration of the Word. We, as born-again believers who've been privileged to partake, we've been given that ministry to share, to teach. That's why we're going to be teaching these next 2 weeks. Living victoriously will not end come the 4th of, or 5th of July. It's the beginning. Whom we preach, verse 28, talking about Christ. Warning, and to warn simply means that you bring to a sense of reality, or bring putting in mind, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, that they can grow up in the mystery, that perfection again, to be fully initiated. Isn't that a wonderful calling God has given us? That is our vision, to continue to teach the word that people can grow up in him. Sure, bless your hearts. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Show you another one. Verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. God gave ministries to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Verse 12. Reason, the purpose, is for the perfecting of the saints, that they can be perfect, not spiritually. Spiritually, we are already what? Right. But in our minds. And you perfect yourself in the mind by the word. Like Paul, you subject yourself, you discipline yourself, you put on the word. That's why God gave leadership to the ministry. Why God called many of you tonight to this ministry, to lead the way by your lifestyle, by your commitment. You say, oh, who, me? Well, yeah, what did you think I was saying when I first came here? Well, I thought for sure God had called me to the ministry of lawnmowers. I figured that was it. Boy, I'd cut grass at International, take out the trash. See, I was blessed to do that. And tell doctor, I said, Johnny, need to go to Kansas. And I said, Kansas? That's right. Later on, Johnny, you need to go out, run the class. Johnny, we need you to go out and do such and such. And of course, you know, being an aide to Dr. Will, of course I expected that. Who are you kidding? I mean, it blew my mind. I was humbled. I was honored. Senses-wise, I didn't believe it. Because senses-wise, in a sense, I'm least qualified to coordinate the course. Like he said, I haven't even been in the Corps program, per se. But they asked me to coordinate the Corps, so I figured God's hands on my life. Right, God? Right, God? Right? Right? Well, I want to tell you, you remind yourself sometimes 10 times a day. You remind yourself, see? God knows what he's doing. Sure, sense knowledge-wise, it doesn't look like much. But God has called us to lead the way, that the saints can be built up in the minds with a view to the work of the ministry and a further view to the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is till we all come in the unity of the faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and that'll be at the return of Christ, unto a perfect man. Then we'll fully comprehend, like Paul said in Philippians. And verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. You see, we teach the word. God's heart is that born-again believers be no more children. We did an expanded of this verse this year in our working, the great book of Ephesians among the core. And this translation, which involves figures of speech as well as the text and orientalisms and other things, reads, and not remain unlearned infants. Don't remain an unlearned infant. When you're first born into the family of God spiritually, you know, you cry. You know, you speak and talk. Just this little baby down there, and you start feeding them a little milk. You know, just like little baby. You nurse them, you know, and all of a sudden, you pull that kid off of there. Meat! Time for food. Okay, get the solids over here. I won't go into an expanded translation on that one. You know. That's right. They grow up. Spiritually, it's the same truth. We grow up by feeding on the milk of the Word, later on the meat of the Word. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. And not remain unlearned infants who are shaken and tossed around mentally like a ship at sea, whirled around by every different teaching of the deceitful doctrines of men. Boy, I can't think of any more apt description of the church today, Christianity. Unlearned infants, born again, sincere, well-meaning people who really do love God within the depth of their heart, but they don't know the Word. A lot of them out there don't even know they've been called to the body of Christ. That's why we keep teaching the Word. That's why verse 13 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him. You see, we keep speaking the truth. We keep introducing the light of the Word that we grow up in him. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. And look at this prayer. Hey, you know, if you want to pray for somebody, why not pray what the Word of God says is available to pray for? Look at the prayer here. He heard that people got born again. So he said, hallelujah, boy, get the chalk out there and mark it up. You know, get out the Bible and whittle in a few more notches. Hey, I got some more saved today, hallelujah. Boy, that gives me, let's see, tally it up here. No. Let God keep the records. You know, we were trying to do some background on the teachers for Living Victoriously. And you know something? We haven't got a lousy bit of information in the files around here. We don't even have any files. I went around and say, well, when did so-and-so take the class? And, you know, what have they done? In the whole way ministry, we haven't even got files. You know, I didn't even know myself. Let God keep the records. You don't need to worry about the score. Paul's prayer is, hey, you're born again, praise God. Well, I'm going to pray for you, and here's the prayer, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And that filled means filled to capacity. Maybe you're a half pint for Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, if you're a half pint, then you're filled a half pint's worth. Maybe you've grown up to the half-gallon stage. Who knows? The emphasis is not on the capacity or the quantity, but that the quality of the Word that lives in a believer's heart and life. To be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, and that's knowledge applied in spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of whom? See it? That's what it says. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in or by the knowledge of God. That you can increase by that knowledge. That you can grow up speaking the truth in love. That our lives can be fruitful. And I want to tell you, you are the most luscious peaches and pears and apples spiritually that God's ever seen. Well, I want to tell you, well, go to the fruit market. You know, there's that, if you saw all those rotten pears and all those little gnats and things flying around them, and there was this one beautiful golden lush pear, no bruise, no blemish, which fruit are you going to go for? You know, you're going to go for the good one. By the fruit of the Word that lives in your life. See, we don't need to go around and blow our horn. We just stand for God, the accuracy of His Word. Build it in our lives, move out, love people, witness to the truth of God's Word, hold forth the Word. The fruit will be there. People will see it because the Word works. I want to tell you, living victoriously sets an absolute contrast to the lifestyle of today. That's right. You don't have to go very far to see that one. And that's why in chapter 4 of Colossians, and this is the verse I want to close with tonight, because I thought, in a sense, this of our prayer for living victoriously. And there's the man Epaphras there who prayed it in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring. And that laboring is, again, that competing as a spiritual athlete fervently. He competed fervently in what? He prayed for them. Boy, what a great declaration. That ye, God's people, may stand perfect. That you can grow up in Him to the end, that you stand and complete, filled to capacity in all the will of God. Boy, isn't that a great prayer for God's people? Isn't that a great vision for us? Not only our lives, but the men and women God has committed to our trust, those whom He's going to call in the days ahead until the return. What a great ministry we have. What a great vision we have. That's why I thought of our triumphant procession down Victory Lane, God leading His people through Christ, the head. In Dr. World's message to the 80s that he addressed to the ministry of God's Word approximately a year or two ago, I think it was, I was going through in my mind and I thought, what great heart tonight again for God's people to hear as we move into the week that will be, as we continue in our sprint to eternity. And he stated, I truly believe that by God's grace and mercy, and by our standing faithful to God's Word, this decade will witness Word over the world to all peoples, into every nation. We will see God's Word in believers throughout the earth. We stand together in faithful and loving service to God and His Word, because the destiny of all people resides in the believing and practice of God's unalterable truth. Yes, we can and will do these things through Christ, who strengthens and infuses us with His ability. We, the believers in the one and only true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, are on the threshold of our glorious victory. The shout of Christ's return is ringing in our ears as we march together in Victory Lane toward the winner's circle, anticipating our triumphant crowning. We are born again to live and serve in response to God's call to love. That's why our vision as a ministry is beyond our lifetime. Our commitment to the integrity and accuracy of the Word is beyond ourselves. We are taking the Word over the world. And as Dr. Wirbel stated, this truly is an unbelievable moment in the history of the world. Father, I thank you for your love and for your goodness and for allowing me to stand here this night before your people on this wonderful teaching platform. And my heart is humbled tonight, Father, for your grace and tender mercy and how you've allowed me to be a part of this wonderful ministry. And thank you tonight for our people around the world, for your blessing, your watch, your care, and for just continuing to lead us and guide us and direct us, Father.